Thank you, John. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for these passages of your Holy Scripture that have been read this morning. May your Spirit work within me and amongst us to reveal an understanding to us, that we might come to know you and love you more. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a season of gift giving, and during these Advent Sundays, I have decided to help you with your gift giving. Now, I'm sure most of you have already finished all your Christmas shopping already, right? Well, that's okay. That's okay. Because the gifts that I am suggesting are the ones you can give in addition to the gifts that you've already bought. And what's more, they won't cost you anything more. 2 weeks ago, I suggested that you might give to your friends and colleagues and neighbors the gift of encouragement. And last week, I suggested that you might give those on your Christmas list the gift of listening. And these are great gifts to give someone. And as I said, you don't even have to go to the store to get them. But even so, they may not always be easy to give. That is certainly true for the gift I am suggesting this week, the gift of forgiveness. For you see, forgiveness is one of the most precious gifts you can give someone, and yet it is often the hardest to give. And I think that's particularly true at this time of year. You see, even though this is a time of joy and glad tidings and silver bells and all those things, there is something about the Christmas holiday season that seems to amplify old grievances rather than allay them. There are many a family out there that struggles this time of year, rehashing the old hurts and slights of past Christmases. Maybe they're mad because Aunt Sally didn't show up last year for the Christmas party at the house. Or maybe Uncle Joe embarrassed everyone at the Christmas Eve service. Or maybe a pair of brothers had an argument at Christmas morning, upsetting everyone on that special day, and everyone's still upset 5 years later. You see, Christmas is a time for memories, right? We like to think that they're always good memories, but I think we also have an amazing ability to remember those bad memories. Remember those Christmases past with the pain and the anger and the disappointments that came with those Christmases past. And so I would suggest, if ever there is a season in need of the gift of forgiveness, this is it. And yet, as I said, forgiveness is not so easy to give, as the story John read from Matthew would suggest. You know, it's an interesting story that John read, a story that at the first casual reading, we can easily lose the depth of its meaning. Now, listening to it, the meaning is simple enough. Your debts have been forgiven, so you shall forgive others' debts. The servants whose debts were forgiven suddenly becomes very miserly with those who owe him, fails to forgive those debts, and then the punishment comes quick and swift from the king. If you can't show mercy, neither will I. And the point is clear. We all had better forgive others or else. And yet what we miss in this little story is how much debt we are talking about. The servant, or slave, as it's translated, worked for the king. Maybe he was an accountant who kept the books for the kingdom, keeping track of where all the money was coming and going. To do this job, he might have been paid a decent wage, let's say $50,000 per year in today's terms, just to throw out a good number. However, when the king came to review this servant's performance, a shortage was discovered, a shortage of over $7 billion. Yes, billion dollars. You see, the Bible says that he owed 10,000 talents. Nobody here knows what a talent is, right? A talent at that time was the equivalent of 15 years of wages for the average worker. Think about that. You do the math. In other words, this, though through an oversight or error, this man managed to lose billions of dollars. More than he could even imagine in today's terms. What's a king to do? He thought about trying to get his money back from the man, but how? He could hardly garnish his wages. The man would be working until he's 10,000 years old or more. I guess 150,000, actually. The king could confiscate the servant's property, but even that would barely be a drop in that bucket. The servant begs for a chance to pay it back, even though he must realize the impossibility of such an offer. And then in one of those whimsical things, whimsical moves that only a king can do, the king wipes out the whole debt. Moved by compassion, he decides that's the only humane thing to do and sets the servant free from prison and from the debt. And now the story has so much more power, doesn't it? Consider now what the servant does. After having been released from that overwhelming debt, he goes and finds one of his fellow servants that owes him money. Now it says denarii there. That might be the equivalent of, say, $5,000 in today's terms. A lot of money, but not insurmountable, not astronomical. And yet, he won't let this person have time to pay it back. One of the stark realizations of sin is that you really can't erase your sin. We can try. The husband who has committed adultery can feel remorse, can repent of his ways, can make changes in his life, but the reality of the offense can never be changed. The person who steals can confess to the crime, can even return the stolen goods, can pay reparations, but he can't replace the broken trust and the sense of violation in the one who was stolen from. The person who insults another at a Christmas party can apologize, he can say it was only a joke, he can even publicly compliment the offended person, but he can never recover the words that were spoken or heard. Such is the nature of sin. It lasts. It is beyond our ability to make right again. The best we can do is acknowledge it for what it is, a grievous act, an offense against another, a stain on the fabric of life. That's what Jesus was trying to say when he said it was 10,000 talents. So we cannot erase that sin. Nor can the one on the receiving end of the receiving act. The sin stands as a barrier to any future relationship. Or so Jesus' parable goes. Except that Jesus tells us for the king, the relationship was worth more than the debt. For the king, no amount of money would stand in the way of building a new relationship with this servant. You can owe more money than you can pay. So be it. The debt is forgiven, and we can start over. It seems so easy in the story to do so, but if we look around, we might ask ourselves whether such forgiveness really exists, especially, as I noted, at Christmas. A minor slight at last year's family gathering becomes a fodder for griping at this year's gathering. A mistake years ago is still rehashed at the dinner table at Christmas. Where is the forgiveness? See, we live the lives of the forgiven servant who, when given his freedom, goes out and solicits debts owed him, and yet won't give the debtor time to repay. Instead, has him thrown in jail. We would rather throw those who have offended us in jail than forgive their debts. And so this story could easily happen today, and probably does, for we don't really understand forgiveness. Thomas Long, a Presbyterian scholar and author, wrote that forgiveness is rare in our lives because it is extremely difficult to produce. It's not like other acts of Christian discipleship. It's not like tossing a dollar in the offering plate or giving our cast-off coat to the clothes pantry. Those are good to do, he writes, but they can be done without cost or change. Not so with forgiveness, he says. To forgive is to be personally transformed by the act, and that means forgiveness is deeply threatening. To forgive someone means that we must strip away the robes of power and assume weakness for the sake of reconciliation, and that is hard to do. He goes on to say that forgiveness is not only hard to do, but ultimately impossible to do. When the fabric of our relationships with God or with each other is torn by sin and offenses, the relationship is broken. I can be nice to you, I can even play fair with you, I'd even be able to see you as someone I should love, in that Christian sort of love that loves everyone and everything, but ask me to make the relationship whole, to move beyond the sin and treat it as nothing. Ask me to trust you again, to give up my superiority and become vulnerable again. That can't be done. Ask me to give up 10,000 talents of sinful debt. It is beyond my power. And yet in this story and throughout the New Testament, the message is clear. Forgive your debts as you have been forgiven. We pray that every Sunday, don't we? Forgiveness has already been set. We don't have the power to create it. It is already ours. We may not have the power to generate forgiveness, but we actually have the power and the ability to plug into it. As Dr. Long puts it, we are not being called to create forgiveness or even produce it in its fullness. We are being called to join with that which is already given as a gift, to cease swimming against the stream of God's grace, to lie on our backs and float with the current. Think about that for a minute, that when we allow ourselves to forgive, we're actually going with God, the current of God's love. But we view Christmas differently, don't we? We often, for many, Christmas is a time to collect on those old relationships, debts that others have incurred. We want to extract something from it, even if it is their embarrassment. Each Christmas, we pull out of our emotional boxes all those grievances just as much as we pull out our decorations. We nurse our old wounds, even if those wounds are decades old, and we wonder why Christmas never seems to be quite right. But Dr. Long reminds us when he writes, in practical terms, when human beings stained and flawed who have been bruised and battered by others reach out towards those who have wounded them and speak words of forgiveness, they are in way over their heads. They really don't have the strength to do what their words promise, to forgive. But as they reach haltingly towards others in strained attempts at forgiveness, the promise of the Gospels is what is already true. God's forgiveness will be given to them as a gift. And so I invite you to consider giving a gift of forgiveness this Christmas, of letting go of whatever grievances and hurts that still bother you at Christmas time, and offer what God has offered to you. For in so doing, you will discover that you not only give the gift of forgiveness, but you will receive it as well. Amen.